Here's the editor of Lenswork Publishing, Brooks Jensen.
I suppose, like perhaps all of you, I've learned a lot about photography by looking at the work of other photographers, particularly the famous masters. There's so much that we can learn from P.H. Emerson and Alfred Stieglitz and Paul Strand and Ansel Adams and Wynne Bullock and Edward Weston, and the list goes on and on and on. And of course, we collect their books. We love seeing their work in gallery exhibitions, or maybe even some of you are lucky enough to have collected original prints. Studying the work of other photographers can be so instructive. But that said, I've been an admirer of Japanese woodblock prints for ages, and I think I've learned almost as much about image making from Japanese woodblock prints, known officially as ukiyo-e, than I have from photographers, which seems rather odd considering how different the materials are. But essentially, whether it's Japanese woodblock prints, photographs, or as far as that goes, paintings, we're all making visual artwork. And there are certain things that are in common with all the different media that we can apply to our efforts in photography. I suppose everyone is familiar, for example, with Hokusai's image, The Great Wave off Kanagawa, one of the most universally recognized masterpieces of artwork of the entire world, of all of history. Interestingly enough, that comes from his project titled 36 Views of Mount Fuji. And that's the first thing that I want to discuss that fascinates me about these artists' work, and that is how many times they did numbered series. For example, 53 Stages of the Tokaido by Hiroshige, or one of my all-time favorites, 100 Aspects of the Moon by Yoshitoshi. If you're at all interested, you can find all these in books, and a lot of the images are on the internet. But there's a couple of things that occur to me about these titles. When you see that there's a project called 36 Views of Mount Fuji, you know exactly when you open the book or look at the portfolio that you've got 36 views to look at. And that sets your expectations, which is kind of interesting. One of the things that I've noticed about photography, for example, both my own and the things that we've published through Lenswork, is that if we don't include something that says how many images there are, then it's very easy for the portfolio to seem too long. That is to say, if I anticipate that there's going to be a dozen or two dozen images, and there's four dozen images, at some point in time, viewer fatigue sets in, and I find myself mentally thinking, okay, that's enough, wrap it up. Because for some reason, there's an expectation that I have for how many images are going to be in a project that's different from how many are in the project. Well, these Japanese woodblock print artists figured out that if they put the number of images in the title, it sort of helps them overcome that viewer fatigue or that thought that says there's too many in this project. When I first bought the book 100 Aspects of the Moon by Yoshitoshi, I knew there were 100 images. It was a nice thick book. And I found myself at the end thinking, damn, I wish there were another 20. I did not at all have the feeling that, okay, that's enough. Let's move on. But there's another aspect of this business about the number in the title, and that is that these were all issued singly. That is to say, the 36 views of Mount Fuji by Hokusai were not done all at once. It wasn't published as a book, for example, or even a portfolio case. They came out one at a time, and people decided they wanted the set. And so they knew there were going to be 36, and they collected them, kind of like collecting baseball cards. You want to collect a card for every member of the baseball team. Well, the same thing happens here. Yoshitoshi published 100 Aspects of the Moon. Well, that means for anybody who becomes a real fan of that project, you've got 100 of them to purchase and add to your collection in order to have the complete set. Why can't we photographers use that same technique? Maybe our project might be 10 views, 20 views, 30 views, however many there are, which could then be released monthly, or perhaps even weekly, and we might find that people want to collect the entire set. Certainly not a new idea in the world of photography, but one that I think could be useful if we borrow that idea from Japanese woodblock artists. One of the implications of woodblock print distribution that way was that they were all very inexpensive. The Japanese woodblock artists didn't say, oh, I've made a great image, and suddenly try to sell them for hundreds of dollars or thousands of dollars in a Western gallery kind of scenario. No, they were inexpensive prints that could be purchased by everybody, by laborers, for hardly any money, and they used them to decorate their homes. There's a core of an idea there that I just love. We could probably spend 20 hours talking about the distribution of photographs. Oh, wait a minute, I already did that. In the workshop at Lenswork Online called Finding an Audience for Your Work. And I talk about this paradigm of inexpensive collectible prints and how it might apply to us photographers. Another thing that's worth noting, in 36 Views of Mount Fuji or 53 Stages of the Tokaido, Mount Fuji and Tokaido are a place, and so at first blush it might look like these are projects about a single place. Like we could go to Yosemite and do 36 views of Half Dome. But these woodblock artists understood the problem of repetition. And if what you end up with is 36 views of Mount Fuji that are basically the same composition over and over and over again, people are going to get bored with it. And so they became masters of themes rather than locations. And if you think about it, 36 views of Mount Fuji, each of those can be done from a completely different location, but they all have Mount Fuji in the image somewhere. Maybe it's a little tiny thing off in a corner. Maybe it dominates. So they avoid the problem of repetition by defining the project very, very carefully. 100 Aspects of the Moon by Yoshitoshi can be from any location. As a matter of fact, a lot of them are historic. That is to say, he used Japanese mythology to create images, not locations. Another aspect of these projects that I absolutely love, of which one of the best illustrations comes from 53 Stages of the Tokaido by Hiroshige, is that Hiroshige was a master of capturing the moment, not the thing. So one of my favorites shows a windstorm at one of the stations of the Tokaido. Think of a bus station or a train station. So here's a station on the Tokaido Road that goes from Tokyo to Kyoto. And in this image, there's all kinds of things being blown that are in the air, leaves and cloths and scarves and things, and people down below are protecting themselves from this extraordinary wind, creating an artwork of a moment, not a picture of a thing. Well, we can do the same thing with photography. Think in terms of moments, not locations. Think in terms of moments, not what a portrait of some person looks like. Think of moments, clouds, weather, etc., not landscapes. And if you think about it, when you create a series that's all about moments, it becomes a lot easier to avoid repetition. And that's certainly a challenge for us photographers. Whether you're doing a seeing in sixes kind of project, or a chapbook, or a portfolio, or a commercially printed book, one of the things we have to work very hard to avoid is repetition. The last thing we want is for someone to be flipping through our book or our project and say, I've already seen this one before. Capturing moments helps avoid that because every moment in life is different. Another unexpected thing that I've learned from studying Japanese ukiyo-e prints is that they are masters of composition. And we all know that in photography, composition's a big deal. Well, it's great to look at the work of Paul Strand or Minor White or Ruth Bernhardt or Michael Kenna and see how they compose their images. But sometimes it's more difficult to do that with photography because we are photographers, and so it's hard to let go of the photographic aspects of what we're looking at to concentrate on the compositional aspects. Sometimes it's easier to study composition in a painting or an etching or a Japanese ukiyo-e print. And by composition, I mean more than just the geographic location of elements in a picture. That's what a lot of photographers think of when they think of composition. But it also has to do with three-dimensionality and relationships between elements in the picture and eye movement and how color can influence the sequence or the importance of what we look at. The Japanese ukiyo-e print artists are masters of this. And I think it's probably fair to say that I've learned more about composition from Japanese woodblock prints than I have by all the photography books I own. And finally, there's one other element that comes to mind when I think about Japanese woodblock prints, and I want to go back and mention once again Hokusai's great image called The Great Wave of Kanagawa. Again, you probably know this image. If you don't look it up on the internet, it's everywhere. But it's interesting to note that that image is just one of the images from his project 36 Views of Mount Fuji. I'm sure Hokusai was probably excited when he conceived this image and drew it and saw it in its finished version. But I'll bet he was no more excited about that image than he was about all the others, the other 35 views of Mount Fuji. This illustrates the idea I've talked about elsewhere, that we don't create a greatest hit image on purpose. It doesn't necessarily stand out because we set out to make a great image. That almost always that great image comes from a project and then rises above the project for reasons that are probably not in the control of the artist. That for some reason the public latches onto it in a way that it becomes more famous than all the other views in that project. So when I first had a chance to look at the book, 36 Views of Mount Fuji, I didn't know The Great Wave off Kanagawa came from that project. I'm just flipping through page after page, reading the docent notes, really fascinated by the project. And all of a sudden I turned the page and there it was, The Great Wave off Kanagawa. And I thought, oh, look at that. This image that's one of the most famous images in all of art history appeared as just another one in the project of 36 Views of Mount Fuji. So what that taught me, I guess, is that as artists, we just do the best we can with every single image and then let go. And who knows what their fate will be. Maybe no one will ever see it. Maybe no one will like it. Maybe it'll become one of the most famous images in art history. You never know. You just do the work. And sometimes that means doing the work with the inspiration of people who are doing really interesting things that aren't a part of our chosen medium. I happen to be fascinated by Japanese woodblock prints, but I'm also fascinated with pen and ink drawings and copperplate etchings and other visual media that have nothing to do with photography, but have lots and lots to teach us that if we're sensitive and maybe a little clever, we can adapt and use in photography successfully, because the great ideas translate from one medium to another. And in my case, they certainly do from Japanese ukiyo-e woodblock prints to still photography.
Copyright 2025, Lenswork Publishing.